Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally O'Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocates. Today, my honored guest is author and journalist Catherine J. Frompovich. She was among the first to write about the CDC's new rules. And if you are not already apprised of this, you will be amazed. However, she has some light to shed upon this from her research that I know everybody will be eager to hear. So please welcome my guest, Catherine J. Frompovich. Just so you realize, I will be adding to the comment area, if you scroll down under the screen, a roster of the books that she has authored. But directly under the screen, you will see the link to the article she wrote in regard to the CDC's latest activities. Welcome, hello. Catherine.
Hello. Thank you, Sally, for inviting me to be on your wonderful show. I think it's a great opportunity to talk about something that most people probably can't even begin to fathom that is going to be happening to us. And I welcome the opportunity to present to your listening audience and the world at large my version of the research that I have done and what I think is probably happening and what I'd like a lot of people to think about and to research. And that is the new rulemaking the CDC proposed in the Federal Register on August the 15th, 2016, about which they have an open comment period until October 14, 2016, and at the end of our show, I'll give the website URL address where people who have a pen and paper handy can write down where to go to make your comments, because I think after our discussion today, they may want to make a comment, and at least I hope so.
Yes, I do believe they will. And you and I agree in regard to how to proceed, but I agreed out of gut instinct. You have agreed. You concur out of research. So I am eager to hear your breakdown of where, just your breakdown. I'll just leave it at that. Go ahead.
Okay. Can I just share this with you? I've prepared a little dissertation so that I can sort of set up what's going on, because it's so utterly ridiculous, and people will think this is the ultimate conspiracy of conspiracies. But I've gotten together a little thing called The Spider's Web of Controlling Factors 2016, Understanding the CDC's Power Grab Rule on Communicable Diseases. Now, what people probably won't understand is that the CDC is trying to set itself up as the ultimate officer in the healthcare police state, which, according to their own admissions, and if you'll look on their CDC website, they'll say that legal authority to isolate and quarantine is a quote-unquote police power function. So why are they going after it? They are not the FBI. They are not any of the enforcement agencies with regard to policing powers in the United States. But to understand that, I think I'd like to set up how this power grab goes about and how the people, the public, are proselytized and spoon-fed via various media issues and programs to believe and accept what they offer. First of all, what is the spider's web? Well, 90% of the USA media is owned by 6 corporations. That's known as the media oligarchy. 232 media executives control the information diet of 277 million Americans. And we have about, 320 million Americans? 10 corporations own almost everything you buy, or the companies. Note that the Bilderberg connection is to almost everything that affects us. And if everybody doesn't know, or anybody doesn't know what the Bilderberg associations are the folks who meet once a year to set up in advance, years and years ago, maybe 10, 15, 20 years in advance, they set an agenda for what's called the New World Order, One World Society, globalism. And those 10 corporations that own most of everything that we have to deal with in life are Coca-Cola, G or General Mills, Johnson & Johnson, Kellogg's, Kraft, Mars, Nestle, P&G, PepsiCo, and Unilever. Now, in addition, the Bilderbergers are named in their connections. And on the website, if anybody's interested, and if you would like to post it later on, I'll send you the URL address so you can put it under this show's references. There's a site to which when you click on it and enlarge it, you have the names of each Bilderberg member and all his or her connections are to everything that affects life on the planet. In addition to the 1% often referred to as the elites, we have controlling entities implementing the globalization process that's been designed as far back as the late 1700s, when the Illuminati and other secret societies began their quests in earnest for something that's obviously been an ongoing problem from humanity from ages past, and that's control, and also something that cropped in relatively recently at the beginning of the 20th century, the early 1900s, a thing called eugenics. Today's capitalist society is built upon the following pillars that allows the 1% of the elite to control and have total access. Banking, big agriculture, big pharma, the chemical industry, medicine, the military complex, petroleum, energy, and the nuclear complex, and weather geoengineering. And there is another thing also called shadow governments, which function in many countries, particularly in the United States, where it skews information between reality and their concocted reality. And one of the classic examples that I'd like to cite, I think, is when they talk about consumer price index and so on and so forth. They put out one thing where in the reality it's actually a totally different thing, or the cost of living. The ultimate controlling factor is geopolitics and a global society, something patterned after the Second World War Nazis' ultimate dream and goal, only partially defeated, but hijacked into a one-world government that every U.S. president since Ronald Reagan has supported and even issued various presidential executive orders to help the New World Order snowball roll rapidly downhill to its present smothering state, and none more so than President Barack Hussein Obama. Nothing exemplifies the controller's grand state of domination than how the USA has become a corporatocracy rather than maintain its republic status, which has actually become a democratic constitutional republic, upon which it was founded. Benjamin Franklin is known for his famous quote at the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia, and I'd like to cite a little bit of information I took off of the Constitution Center site. Quote, if there is a lesson in all of this, it is that our Constitution is neither a self-actuating nor a self-correcting document. It requires the constant attention and devotion of all citizens. There is a story often told that upon exiting the Constitutional Convention, Benjamin Franklin was approached by a group of citizens asking what sort of government the delegates had created. His answer was, quote, a republic if you can keep it, unquote. The brevity of that response should not cause us to undervalue its essential meaning. Democratic republics are not merely founded upon the consent of the people. They are also absolutely dependent upon the active and informed involvement of the people for their continued good health, unquote. And that's what I'm hoping the people will do after listening to our discussion and radio show today. The above quote by Dr. Franklin ought to ring not only loudly, but with much clarity, especially now when government agencies, such as the U.S. CDC, is overreaching and grabbing for what amounts to a police state mentality and functioning capability under the guise of health in its August 15, 2016 proposed rule, Control of Communicable Diseases, and for which it has an open comment period lasting, as I said, until October 14. The CDC has become a predatory agency, muscling into the area of what the U.S. Congress should be doing. Since the Congress in 1986 gave the vaccine makers a get-out-of-jail-free card, the CDC now is trying to usurp the law by making law in the USA. Everyone needs to tell the CDC that in their comment message and also call for a suspension of the CDC's proposed rulemaking for control of communicable diseases. Also, contact your three members of Congress. Everybody listening to this has one member in the House of Representatives and two members in the U.S. Senate that they should contact to tell them not to allow the CDC to turn itself into a totalitarian police state agency. Rules that only Congress, who has oversight over the CDC, should make, and not follow Big Pharma's, probably Big Pharma's agenda. That's what I've prepared. But let me share one thing that just came across my internet email before we came on the show. Guess how these spiders work? They buy their influence. The previous FCC chair bought his position for almost $3.5 million. According to WikiLeaks documents just released, up to six to seven figure donations were made to the DNC, that's the Democratic National Committee, that resulted in ambassadorships and other high-level government appointments. One notoriously was Julius Genachowski, donated $3,494,919 to the DNC and then was named chairman of the FCC from 2009 to 2013. I have to question in my mind from all the research that I have been doing since the late 1970s, how much financial and other impact Big Pharma and the vaccine makers have had in the CDC's new regulation rulemaking that they published August 15th, that's going to mandate if you have been subjected to something that they would think is a communicable disease. You can be apprehended. You can even be sequestered. And there's more to follow that I would like to discuss, but do you have any questions so far? Sally?
I put myself on mute. Sorry, I had to unmute myself
okay.
So that you would be uninterrupted. No, I think you're as clear as a bell, and I certainly agree with the fact that we need to contact our Congress and let them know that the CDC is usurping the us, because they represent us, and they are, and Congress needs to remind them that they are not the representative, and we don't answer to them. We answer to Congress, and Congress, more appropriately, answers to us.
Or should answer. And that's where all the big money and the spiders and the spider web comes into play. It's the corporatocracy now that has taken over the government, government agencies. We have revolving doors. We have, for classic example, at the FDA, we have Monsanto's former vice president in charge of government relations, their main lobbyist on Capitol Hill, is now at the FDA in a very high capacity. This goes on all the time. This is not in the best interest of the citizens, voters, and public health, in my opinion. What has happened, I think, from my research, is this. President Obama did not issue a presidential executive order to allow or give the CDC certain powers for them to proclaim to themselves. Going back and researching, I have found that there were four presidential executive orders dealing with communicable diseases. One was PEO 12452, December 22, 1983, issued by President Ronald Reagan. The other one is PEO 13295, dated April 4th, 2003, issued by President George W. Bush. PEO 13375, issued August 1st, 2005, by President George W. Bush. And PEO 13674, issued July 31, 2014, by President Barack Obama. Now, those are the four presidential executive orders that, in my opinion, the CDC is citing in their rulemaking and taking their power from to do something that they don't have the power to do, which is, and here is the key, the proposed section describes the criminal penalties for violations of quarantine regulations. And what they set up is an unbelievable amount of fines, ranging from $100,000 to $500,000 in some cases, if you don't go along with their proposed incarceration for being apprehended, put into quarantine, and so on and so forth. Isn't that something?
I think that if nothing else gets through to the general public, what you just said will.
Okay. Now, one of the things it looks like the CDC is invoking previous PEOs, Presidential Executive Orders, in issuing its notice of rulemaking, and that President Obama, I must say this again because this is so key, did not issue a new PEO specifically giving CDC the powers that it is taking unto itself. So therefore, we have to go to Congress. We have a system of checks and balances. We have the three branches of government, and Congress has oversight over the CDC. That's where we should be making all kinds of racket noise, phones ringing off the hooks, emails flying back and forth, until we finally get the attention of Congress. You know,
absolutely,
Congress is
yes.
Congress is very slow to act on a lot of things. We have a very serious situation before Congress now for 2 years. Whistleblower, CDC whistleblower, Dr. William Thompson, blew the whistle on the absolute link between autism and the MMR vaccine. And a member of Congress, Posey from Representative Posey from Florida, gave a very dramatic speech before the U.S. Congress in session asking for an investigation into this fraud that went on at the CDC with regard to their actually throwing away and eliminating from a published report the fact that autism was implicated in and from the MMR vaccine with regard to young black boys under 3 years of age. Has Congress done that investigation or had a hearing or anything about it? No. There also was another one back in June of 2000 at the Simpsonwood meeting when they, again, the Verstappen study had shown that MMR vaccine had caused autism, and they all got together in quiet in a clandestine meeting, 52 people, and they sent Verstappen back to the drawing board to rework his information and data so that it showed that there was no link between the MMR vaccine or any vaccine and autism. So we've got a lot of problems here that nobody wants to look at, but yet, for some unknown or untold reason, and I think I know the reason that I'll discuss in a moment, the CDC is mandating that everybody has to be vaccinated, or quarantine, possibly even if you cold, not a flu or not any of the serious diseases like Ebola that was the only reason for quarantine before if you had exposure to a very serious disease that no one knew how to deal with or hadn't been around before, or probably one of the ones that are man-made that comes out of these genetic engineering labs. Pardon me saying that, but there is much to be said about that. I wish people would do their research on the internet about geoengineered microorganisms and diseases. Now, they have changed the definition of an ill person, which I find rather interesting. And here are the definitions that I took off of their site. A fever, 100.4 Fahrenheit or 38 degrees Celsius or greater. A skin rash, multiple red bumps, spots, blisters filled with fluid or pus. Difficulty breathing, gasping for air, can't catch breath, breathing too fast and shallow. Persistent cough, coughs enough times to catch the attention of a crew member. That would be on a ship, on a bus, on an airplane. They're now empowering regular people like you and me who drive them, turn us in, it seems. Decreased consciousness or confusion, bruising or bleeding, persistent diarrhea, persistent vomiting, headache with a stiff neck, and I guess they're looking for meningitis there. Those are the conditions to define what they now say will be an ill person. They can grab you. They can sequester you. They can vaccinate you. And if you refuse, you go to jail. You get these fines. It's absolutely horrendous. Then there is this very interesting text that I think is absolutely off the wall. What is the, I'm asking the question now, what is the pre-communicable stage mean? This is their definition. The pre-communicable stage means the stage beginning upon an individual's earliest opportunity for exposure to an infectious agent. Does that mean when you pass somebody on the street? And ending upon the individual entering or re-entering the communicable stage of the disease, or if the individual does not enter the communicable stage, the latest date at which the individual could reasonably be expected to have the potential to enter or re-enter the communicable stage. This is getting to be a little asinine, I think. I mean, in my opinion, I think total power grab to be able to go after anybody, and in particular, and I know this is going to sound off the wall, but in particular, those of us who have been fighting against and going for vaccine safety advocacy. This will be their ultimate prize, I think, that they are going after, and for any conscientious objector. You know, they are now trying to get enacted in all the states, or at least 30-some of them, laws that totally discount and don't allow any exemption for vaccines, except possibly a medical exemption. As I said, fines can range from $100,000 up to $500,000. Interesting?
I have to say at this point that in terms of who they might be targeting, I find it fascinating that October 14th is the date they're calling as the deadline for comments, when in fact October 14th is the day of the rally outside of the CDC in Atlanta.
Oh, interesting.
Also,
how interesting. Yes.
Yeah. But also, I don't think, in fact, this is for people who are alert and active. I think this is for absolutely everybody. And if you don't get alert and active, it will happen to you.
I agree. But this is, to me, to my way of thinking, because people are getting alert, people are finding out the facts. And you know what? I think the best thing that ever happened to waken up the people was Dr. Wakefield's movie, Vaxxed, which you have promoted so wonderfully. When people, physicians, see that, they have an aha awakening moment. They can't believe how we have been lied to. Knowing CDC's and FDA's historical fraud, deceit, chicanery, corporatocracy, money talks, follow the money, I cannot accept nor think other than there is some ulterior motive to this request for their police grab.
I want you to be really clear and restate, if you will, you were saying that that President Obama has not signed an executive order that would enable them to grab this power versus the four executive orders that you cited.
That is correct. From the research and from what I have done and looked into, if I am wrong, I wish to be corrected, and I will acknowledge it, but I cannot. I looked through the list of Obama's presidential executive orders. I went back and forth as many times as I could check. Unless I'm Daffy Duck and I can't find it, he did not specifically.
I do know of one executive order where he said that people could be detained who had breathing difficulties. And at the time, I remember thinking, oh, that's everybody who's ever been vaccinated.
That probably is the one he issued July 31, 2014, PEO 13674. And that's what that and the other three that two that Bush did and the one that Reagan did, that is what I think and contend the CDC is using as their basis for in law for their being able to reclassify who gets sick, what's an illness, impose fines and empower airplane crews, pilots, bus drivers, anybody, you know, who transports anybody. Oh, and they can even go anywhere that they want, into supermarkets, theaters, or anything, and do a spot check. And if you don't pass, they take you.
Wow. I have in a video several years back, and it was a family on a Sunday afternoon outing, it appeared. They were a family in a car headed towards the bridge, and a person in fatigues with a gun over their shoulder, I believe this was in India, approached the car and administered a double dose oral polio to each of the children in the back seat. Do you see this happening as a result of this power grab if it is not stopped?
Well, in a way, yes.
The Department of Transportation is very involved in this. When I went to the Department of Health and Human Services, they said that adult vaccination is the next thing, and if adults are hesitant, the Department of Homeland Security will be used. So is this, do you think, part and parcel of what the CDC, and quite frankly, it said the Department of Health and Human Services is putting this forth? They are a subsidiary of the CDC.
No. The CDC is a subsidiary of the HHS. Health and Human Services is...
Right.
Yeah.
No, I realize that. That's actually what I'm saying. And they're saying that the Department of Health and Human Services are the ones who are putting this forth. And but at this meeting on adult immunization, it was stated by one of the speakers that adults will be vaccinated and the use of force through the Department of Homeland Security would be implemented. Nobody batted an eye.
This is the first step towards that, I believe. Okay? This is the first step towards that. This is the, feeler. Just like, in my opinion, the bank thing in Cyprus was their trial balloon. Well, this is a heavy-duty trial balloon that they're putting out and see what kind of ruckus we stir up. See, one of the things that the entire 1% oligarchy elite are afraid of is this: our getting educated and proactive and involved and making noise. Zbigniew Brzezinski made this comment a couple years back. Today, it's easier to kill 1 million people. It's easier for us to kill 1 million people than to control 1 million people. And that's what it's all about, the eugenics program and transhumanism. I believe, from all the research that I have done, they are now getting to the push, the shove to push and push to shove, of implementing their, what I would call, wet dream reality of reducing the population down to where we have cyborgs and transhumanistic individuals. You want to have a computer chip put into your brain to function. All this smart technology, all this stuff that's going on now is sending us into the high-tech techno world of robots, cyborgs, and transhumanism. As a matter of fact, there is such a thing called the Georgia Guidestones, like the state, Georgia Guidestones. They are in Georgia. Some people refer to them as the new Ten Commandments. And the very first one is a real, real shocker. It says, and I'm paraphrasing now, to maintain the human population on the planet into perpetuity at 500 million people. That's a half a billion people. The last time I checked, we have about 7.24, something like that, 3 billion people on the face of the earth. Well, how are they going to get rid of us? Well, Bill Gates, who's a eugenicist at heart, has a TED Talk that's on the video, wherein he gives an equation for controlling the world's population, in which you hear him very, very dramatically and emphatically say that vaccines will be part and parcel of controlling the human population.
I would like to get back to Obama. I want to get back to what you're saying here. There are four signed, but there's something unsigned. What are we telling our Congress people here in terms of the thing that is not signed? I really want to be clear about that. I am not clear about that.
As far as I can ascertain, there is no presidential executive order. There is no law powering the CDC to take on this power grab that they are promoting.
Okay, now can I ask you about previous executive orders? Do they stand into perpetuity? Does the recent one?
No, they have all been, they have all the ones that I told you about have been updated by the last Obama one in 2014.
So that one stands. The one wherein people who have a difficulty breathing, that one stands.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. I didn't get what you said, please.
Okay. The most recent one, which was in regard to people who have breathing difficulties being able to be sequestered, that one still stands?
I would assume so.
But only that one.
Because there have been, from what I understand, let's see, where do I have it here? Let's see here. PEO 12866 issued by Clinton in 1993, PEO 13563 by Obama in 2011 are referred to and called upon in the CDC's new rulemaking. Also PEO 12988 by Clinton on civil justice reform. The CDC is going back and pulling out all the stops and power grabs that they think they can get from former presidential executive orders, unless former presidential executive orders have been terminated or changed by a sitting president or a president at any time, then they still hold or enforce. And I cannot speak to each and every one of them because I have not researched if they have been all changed. It would take me days.
No. I'm just trying to see. It appears to me that unless there's an executive order that let's just refer to Obama, okay? Unless he were to write an executive order that undoes the only one that he has signed in this regard, then that one would still stand. And people who have asthma, which is a common outcome from vaccination, they would be quarantinable.
Probably.
Well, that's basically our children. I'm not worried about the activists. I'm worried about the children.
You see, the thing that I'm concerned about is, and this, and everybody has to be concerned, though there are thousands and thousands of words in this proposed rulemaking,
yes,
it's not a matter of our interpretation. It is a matter of theirs. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the key. What they say can be spun into anything that they want to interpret it as. As we have seen with the fraud that the CDC has committed in their research on vaccines. We can't trust them.
Well, this is what I wrote to people who look at my blog in regard to this. I say they recommend you write to them, to the CDC, and make comments, but I'm saying to write to your congressperson. Dear federal reps, state reps, local reps, and health committees at all levels of elected government, why is the CDC asking for our opinion when they are not elected to serve us, as are you? I find this inappropriate, to say the least. I will answer to their request for comments from us to you instead. I want you to represent me to this unelected agency, and this way I will know that you understand how I feel about their positions and that we question their authority. It appears that the legislative process is being usurped in an effort to promote an agenda without representation. And then add your comment.
That is correct, but I also encourage everybody, really, to make the comment on the URL address and the website that they provide, telling them the very same thing. You are not empowered to do this, and I have written to my members of Congress, telling them so, and you have to withdraw this, totalitarian police state grab. You tell them that in no uncertain language.
Right, exactly. So basically what we're recommending is that people do it backwards. They don't write to the CDC. They write to their congressperson and then copy the CDC.
No, they don't copy the CDC. They tell the CDC on the CDC's comment form exactly what they have done and what they think of the CDC. You don't BCC or CC them or whatever. You put it into their comment form.
Way, not necessarily as clearly as you have stated it here. Okay.
Because if you send it to as a CCC someplace, they'll never get it. You have to file it on their comment form.
Right.
And the more people that do
blog.
It, excuse me, I can give, okay. Before we forget, let me give the URL address, but maybe you can put it on the show notes below this show.
Yes, I can.
Okay. Do you have it, or shall I read it all?
Yes, it's on my blog. Everything's on my blog. I have to tell you, unfortunately, in terms of the article that you wrote, I accessed it through Natural News. They refer in their article to your article. And I clicked on it, and up came the actual link, but Safari doesn't open that link. How do you like them apples? There's nothing wrong with my computer.
Okay, let me just read, for anybody who's got a pen and a paper handy, this is the link where you can post your comment directly to the CDC, telling them how you feel about this rulemaking. https://www.federalregister.gov/